This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Monday, February 24th, and I'm Megan McNamara here with RCR's Daily Brief. Joining us today is Paul Brennan, back to bring you the latest headlines. Next, we'll hear an insightful interview with United Australia Party advisor Michael Arbin, where he discusses the recently passed hate crime laws in the Australian Senate and the potential impact on free speech. Then we'll hear from Marty Gibson, who brings us his thoughts on the leadership of Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. And of course, Natalie Cutler-Welsh is back with RCR Signpost to help us head full steam into the week. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Three Chinese warships conducted live-fire exercises in the Tasman Sea over the weekend, forcing commercial airliners to divert their flight paths. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said China had not informed New Zealand of the ship's movements or their purpose, but noted they were operating in international waters and therefore within international law. The exercises took place only days after the Cook Islands negotiated an investment deal with China without first notifying New Zealand, as would normally be expected. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said China had not followed best practice, but acknowledged that Australia also conducts similar operations in the South China Sea. Defence expert Professor David Cappy told RNZ this morning that the ships were a gift from Beijing, since the New Zealand government was hoping to persuade the public on the need to increase defence spending. Domestic abuse agencies have criticised Destiny Church's Man Up program as downright dangerous because it promoted male dominance and traditional family values, which they say could exacerbate domestic violence. Man Up members were recently seen disrupting a Pride event in West Auckland. The comments came after Labor MP Phil Twyford wrote to the charity's register asking for Destiny Church to be removed from the list. Twyford claimed the church breached the Charities Act when it attempted to disrupt the Pride event. Associate Finance Minister David Seymour has announced plans to reform the Overseas Investment Act to make it easier for foreigners to invest in New Zealand. He said New Zealand was one of the hardest countries to invest in due to its low labour productivity growth. Turning to international news, exit polls in Germany showed the Conservative Opposition Party was in the lead, while Nationalist Party Alternative for Germany had nearly doubled its support and placed second in the election. Before the election, the Conservative Christian Democrat Union Party said it would not discuss a coalition with the Alternative for Germany. Chancellor Olaf Scholz has conceded defeat for his centre-left Social Democrats after what he called a bitter election result. Australia's governing Labor Party has been accused of vote-buying by granting citizenship to 12,500 immigrants in key Sydney electorates ahead of the federal election. The election must be held by the 17th of May, but no date has been set. Preparations are underway for a face-to-face meeting between the leaders of the US and Russia over the Ukraine war. The meeting is expected to be significant, not only for its potential to end the conflict, but also because it would effectively mark the end of US efforts to isolate Russia. Now to RCR Quick Links. The government's Ministry for Regulation said it will review outdated regulations around industrial hemp production. Principal and teacher unions say they are disappointed that an Education Ministry error meant it failed to forecast teacher shortages this year. The US Senate has confirmed Kash Patel to be the FBI director and to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. The social media site Gab has refused to hand over data about a user who allegedly made offensive posts about the Australian Prime Minister. And a judge in Brazil has ordered a nationwide suspension of video website Rumble, citing its failure to comply with legal directives. And that's RCR Bytes News for today. It's Monday, the 24th of February. I'm Paul Brennan.
Now let's take a dive into an insightful conversation between Paul Brennan and Michael Arbin, senior advisor to Australian Senator Ralph Babbitt. They unpack the controversial new hate crime bill and its potential impact on free speech. Take a listen.
What is the driver to tighten up in this way, do you think? And where is it coming from?
I wish I could get in their heads and behind closed doors and see the discussions, Paul. But, you know, publicly they'll say it's to combat anti-Semitism. Well, existing laws are more than sufficient for that. You know, if people are putting out ridiculous statements about the Jews or anything like that, there are existing laws and existing crimes that more than easily capture that. The motivation to include words such as sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, intersex status, and disability, as soon as I read that part, all of a sudden we knew it wasn't just about anti-Semitism anymore. It's all of those buzzwords and isms that come through from the globalist organizations all the time. This is a way that maybe not immediately. I can't see this new law being, you know, forced on us with a heavy hand right now, but sometime into the future, this new bill will be used against the Australian people for an unintended purpose and for a different agenda. And we just don't know what it will be, but we know that it's broad enough now to capture almost anything that the government wants. The offence captures, I'm going to list those categories again because I think it's important. Race, religion, nationality, national or ethnic origin, political opinion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, intersex status, and disability. This is not just about anti-Semitism. This is including all of the isms. And really, you're right, it is an anti-free speech bill. The major parties in this country, they hate free speech. It's so obvious. And one thing I will mention, Paul, is that in the final week of sitting last week, Senator Babbitt introduced a constitutional amendment bill, which would give the Australian people the opportunity via referendum to enshrine free speech in our constitution, because we believe that actions like this deserve fight back. And what better way than to give the Australian people the opportunity to decide whether we should actually have free speech enshrined in our constitution, because right now we don't. We only have an implied right to free speech. We don't have a right to free speech.
You can catch the rest of this excellent interview on the website or app. Now let's turn to Marty Gibson and his humorous take on the leadership qualities of Christopher Luxon.
Hello, Megan. The thing about corporate career guys like Christopher Luxon who are laser-focused, fixated, and hell-bent is that you need them in the mix if you're running a country. Those qualities are handy for getting things done. Their capacity for work and focus is incredible, to the point of being unhealthy. It pays to be cautious about putting them in charge of a nation, though, because they tend not to waste computing power on moral questions outside of delivering shareholder value. Those important questions of what to do or why to do it. Entrepreneurs are those brave, creative trailblazers who conceive and develop new business ideas, often taking huge personal risks to bring these visions of what to do to fruition. In contrast, CEOs are tasked with the overarching management of established companies, focusing on sustainability, strategic growth, and operational efficiency, the all-important how-to-do-it questions asked by the board of directors. There's no information beyond photographs on the National Party's website about their board of directors, the people who gave us Christopher Luxon. But I do look a lot like a Chamber of Commerce. It's easy to imagine them cheering on the idea of banning gang patches, despite never having had a conversation with a gang member. That'll show them. Take away their patches. Kiwis almost unanimously and correctly telling Christopher Luxon under each of his vacuous social media posts that he should withdraw New Zealand from the Paris Accord, sends them running back to their playbook, crack down on beneficiaries. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, once said, "Do something you're very passionate about and do not try to chase what is kind of the hot passion of the day." Historically known for timidity and lack of imagination, the National Party board chased all right. They opted for a more efficient Ardern. When their choice didn't poll well in the lead up to the election, they adopted the Democrats' playbook and just stuck with it, assuming correctly, as it turned out, that Orange Man Bad would be enough to get Luxon across the line. The fact that the Democrat strategy didn't work and America has Donald Trump back changes everything, because Luxon's on record slagging Trump off and in the next breath talking about how Barack Obama is the politician he most admires. New Zealanders overwhelmingly voted for change back in 2023, but we elected a steady-as-she-goes government in what is increasingly a hang-on-to-your-hats kind of time. We got Ricky Gervais's David Brent as Prime Minister. And if the National Party board think that substituting him for Nicola Willis's Gareth is going to turn things around, they really need to substitute themselves for braver, more creative trailblazers. Back to you, Megan.
Thanks, Marty. That wraps up our news and commentary for today. Now it's time to hear from Natalie Cutler-Welsh with RCR Signpost.
Thank you, Megan. Welcome to The Signpost, everybody. Natalie here. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. And maybe you managed to catch up on some of our hottest shows or possibly to tune into last night's exciting webinar. We covered some of the important topics featured on our RCR Action Tracker, like the Gene Technology Bill, the latest on the phase two of the COVID inquiry, and addressing fluoride concerns in your area. No worries if you missed it, you can catch the replay. I'm here to guide you on how to find our latest shows and how you can take meaningful action. The hottest episode right now is RCR 360, Alistair Harding's Fluoride on the Brain. He teams up with inspiring U.S. lawyer Michael Connett, who thoroughly debunks the arguments for council water fluoridation. The fight back is gaining serious momentum, with councils and communities joining the resistance. So don't just sit back. Now is the time to make your voice heard. You can share Thursday's RCR 360 episode and arrange meetings with your local councillors and MPs. We are closer than ever to a breakthrough on this, but we need everyone to keep the pressure on. Also just landed is Paul Brennan's complete and riveting interview with Michael Arbonne, whom you just heard, advisor to Senator Ralph Babbitt from the United Australia Party, discussing the new hate crime laws over there. It is great insight and highly recommended. If you haven't caught it yet, check out last week's Media Matters, where Marie Buskey and Marty Gibson explore crucial government appointments, media regulations, and what's going on with the Cook Islands and China. Or if you're a bit out of touch, you can get up to date with Friday's weekly roundup with Diwa DeBoer and William McGimpsey, covering the Manriwa Morai and IPCA reports, along with the latest updates on Ukraine. And look out tomorrow, Stephen Sykes returns with Tech Tuesday, providing a number of key IT updates, including a Volkswagen data breach affecting 800,000 electric cars and Google Chrome's AI-enhanced protection, a new way to spy on everything you do. New content drops daily at RCR. To discover what's new, simply click on the sleek latest feature at the top of the app for easy and effortless listening. And as always, we love hearing from you. Keep the feedback flowing through to our text 2057 or onto our email inbox at realitycheck.radio. That's it from me. Back to you, Megan.
Thanks, Natalie. Well, that wraps up today's edition of The Daily Brief. Remember, all our full interviews are available on the RCR website or app, and you'll find all the links from today's show below. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and insights to keep you in the loop. Until then, see ya.